I intend to visit 727 before long, and think, by the assistance of a 355 of my acquaintance, shall be able to outwit them all. Abraham Woodhull. My name is Becca Reiswig, and you're listening to So That's What Happened, a podcast where I share some of my favorite stories. History is full of engaging and fascinating topics, whether we go back to the dawn of time or only a few years ago. So settle in as we explore one of my favorites. By request of my grandmother, this week's topic is Agent 355, the mysterious lady spy of the American Revolution. This is a story that is dear to my heart. Firstly, it's a story of a woman who impacted the history of my country. Additionally, spies. Spycraft is something that fascinates the general public, and me, as is evidenced by the popularity of James Bond, if no other of the many pop culture spies there are out there. And thirdly, this is a story that was never covered in my school career. As my catalog of episode topics so far suggests, I have strong feelings about what should be taught in schools. So who was Agent 355? The short answer is no one really knows. There's only one truly verifiable direct reference to her, which is found in a message from Abraham Woodhull, the relevant portion of which I used as the opening quote. We can, however, make educated guesses as to who she may have been and what she did based on what we do know about the Culper Ring. That means today we're going to be diving into several different portions of history so we can better understand the story around Agent 355. Let's start with the role women held in colonial America. An article from National Geographic explains it as this. In colonial America, the experiences of women and children varied widely among ethnic and social groups and from colony to colony. They had fewer rights than women and children do today, yet they had many responsibilities and activities that contributed to their families and communities. It is important to remember that a woman's standing relied heavily on her socioeconomic background and the predominant religion of the area she lived. Agent 355 was most likely based in New York, so that's where we'll look. New York, originally New Amsterdam, was settled by the Dutch. The prominent and official religion was Dutch Reformed, a branch of the Protestant Church. Based on my research, women in New Amsterdam held many responsibilities, from managing a home and raising the children to participating in local trade and acting as liaisons and translators with other people groups. With this background, it is unsurprising that a lady of New York will become a spy during the Revolution. I do have, like, 6 international listeners. Thank you guys so much. So let's do a quick background on the American Revolutionary War for them and everyone whose high school career is further back than they'd care to think about. There were a number of instigating factors which led to the war, but the main one was taxation without representation. While still under the control of the British monarchy, the colonies were, by the mid-1700s, governed almost exclusively by those who had been born on her shores and had no real representative or voice in the British government. This means that the people were beginning to see their ties to England as fragile and manipulative on the mother country's part, particularly when the Seven Years' War, or the French and Indian War, ended, and taxes didn't relax. Actually, they seemed to rise, and previously mostly ignored rules were suddenly strictly enforced. Tensions began to boil in Boston on March 5, 1770, when 5 civilian dissenters who had been throwing rocks at British troops were killed in what would come to be known as the Boston Massacre. Next, we get the Boston Tea Party, in which colonists dumped 92,000 pounds of tea, worth over $1 million in today's money, into the harbor in retaliation of the Tea Act, which gave the East India Company a monopoly on the import of tea. The British Parliament responded with the Intolerable Acts. These acts took away Massachusetts' ability to self-govern and other rights as punishment for the loss of the tea. This was the point where the tensions boiled over for many of the colonies. There is a lot more to this story. The Continental Congress, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, George Washington and his hardships and victories, our international allies, France in particular, but I think that's enough for now. Maybe one day I'll come back and talk more about it. But for the purposes of this story, let's move on to spies in the American Revolution. There are a few names that will be familiar to a lot of you. Probably the most famous of the American spies was Nathan Hale. He volunteered to go behind enemy lines and report on troop numbers and movements, but was captured and killed. What he is most remembered for are his reported last words, "I only regret that I have but one life to give for my country." Robert Townsend was a tavern owner who publicly claimed to be a loyalist, and even wrote for a loyalist paper, all to build credibility with the enemy. He was able to learn sensitive information, often directly from military officers, which he then relayed via other spies. Another noteworthy name is that of James Armistead Lafayette. MontVernon.org says of him, "An enslaved African-American who volunteered to join the army under Lafayette in 1781, Armistead served as a double agent working for the Patriots. Armistead posed as a runaway slave who agreed to work with the British, though in actuality he was collecting intelligence from the British and reporting back to Patriot forces. Armistead spied on Brigadier General Benedict Arnold, who had already defected to lead British forces, and eventually visited the camp of Lord Cornwallis to gather information about the British plans for troop deployment and armaments. The intelligence reports of Armistead's efforts were instrumental in helping to defeat the British during the Battle of Yorktown." Now we move into the most infamous spy ring of the war, the Culper Ring. This group was established and oversaw by Benjamin Talmadge, as instigated by George Washington. Most of his recruits were personal friends. While Talmadge may have organized the Culper Ring, Abraham Woodhull was its leader for all intents and purposes. He went by the codename of Samuel Culper Sr., but had to be particularly careful about meeting other agents because the British quickly grew suspicious of his movements. And the last member I'll be bringing up for now was Anna Strong. She was well-connected and used her New York farmstead to pass messages along by arranging her laundry just so on the clothesline. All right, now that we know a bit about the people and circumstances surrounding her, who was Agent 355? By using the absolutely indispensable Internet Archive, the Wayback Machine, I was able to read an old article from the CIA's official website where they had this to say about Our Lady Spy. "One female member of the Culper Ring, known only by her codename 355, was arrested shortly after Benedict Arnold's defection in 1780, and evidently died in captivity. Details of her background are unknown, but 355, the number meant lady in the Culper code, may have come from a prominent Tory family with access to British commanders and probably reported on their activities and personalities. She was one of several females around the debonair Major Andre, who enjoyed the company of young, attractive, and intelligent women. Abraham Woodhull, 355's recruiter, praised her espionage work, saying that she was one who hath been ever serviceable to his correspondents. Arnold questioned all of Andre's associates after his execution in October 1780, and grew suspicious when the pregnant 355 refused to identify her paramour. She was incarcerated on the squalid prison ship Jersey, moored in the East River. There she gave birth to a son, and then died without disclosing that she had a common-law husband, Robert Townsend, after whom the child was named." While this is an astounding narrative, it does come from a now-defunct webpage. So I started looking into some of the claims in it to see if I could find any of the information corroborated elsewhere. Let's start with her social background. Based on the information that the Culper Ring supplied Washington with, it is safe to bet that she came from a more well-off family in order to have direct contact with military leaders, or was a servant in a well-off household. If she was in this sort of position, the household would also likely have been loyalists. This means that, as a woman, suspicion would not have fallen on her if the house she was in was loyal to the Crown of England, particularly if she was the lady of the house. In fact, we actually have a verifiable example of exactly that in Lydia Darg. Her husband was a staunch and trusted supporter of the British, so much so that British intelligence officer, Major John Andre, held a clandestine meeting in the Darg house. Lydia quietly listened in from outside the door and was able to send word to Washington warning of an upcoming attack. When the attack failed, Major Andre hunted for the security leak and questioned everyone in the Darg household, save for Lydia. After all, if her husband was loyal, surely she was as well. Well, what about the ties to Major Jean Andre next, since we just mentioned him? The Culper Ring's information seemed to be particularly noteworthy when the Major was in New York and dried up when he left. We can tie Agent 355 to New York via the letter from Abraham Woodhull I quoted in the open. "I intend to visit 727 before long and think, by the assistance of a 355 of my acquaintance, shall be able to outwit them all." Woodhull was known for writing in numeric codes. In this case, 727 means New York, and 355 means lady. If 355 was a primary source of information, it stands to reason that she would be connected to the Major, and in this case would even work if 355 was a shared name for any woman offering information who wasn't officially part of the ring, since Major Andre had known proclivities. My final question, was she actually arrested? It seems like we should have more concrete ideas about her identity if she was arrested and died imprisoned on a British ship, right? Well, from what I could find, this is the broadly accepted legend around her. However, there are those that point out that women would not have been kept on a prison ship, and more so, there are no records of a pregnancy aboard one. On the other hand, this is accepted as fact in many of the sources I looked at, and without having access to 18th century British intelligence records, I personally can't confirm the story one way or the other. In the end, though, isn't that the best outcome for a spy story? We don't know who the person was, or if it even was just one person. She may have died for her work, or she may have survived the war. It is likely we'll never know. And while I love finding the answer to a good mystery, sometimes the answer being, it's still a mystery, can be a satisfying one. So, that's what happened. Or at least, what might have happened. Among the many sources I looked at and used, I found the book George Washington's Secret Six, The Spy Ring That Saved the American Revolution, by Brian Kilmeade and Don Yeager to be very informative about not just Agent 355, but spying during the revolution at large. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating and reviewing it, as well as subscribing and sharing. If you'd like to directly help me, you can head over to patreon.com/sothatswhathappened, or click the link in the show notes. If you have any topics you'd like to hear me cover, or questions or comments about this or past stories, send an email to sothatswhathappenedpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me over on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as STWHPodcast. American history is full of women who have done extraordinary things during wartime for our nation. From Clara Barton's tireless work founding the American Red Cross, to the first female Medal of Honor winner, Dr. Mary Walker, to our first female combat fighter pilot, Lieutenant Kara Hulkering, no list of American heroes is complete without the names of some of these extraordinary women. Even the recent news about finding a piece from Amelia Earhart's plane should be another reminder to us of the incredible determination of those pioneers who opened doors and shattered glass ceilings, simply by doing their jobs effectively and courageously. Brian Kilmeade.